in the last chapter of this epistle. And he mentions to take note what he has written unto you, for he has written them a short letter, short letter. And there was 14 chapters in this epistle that he wrote. An apostle calls it a short letter. First of all, in this chapter, where it gives us this warning, that we should fear one thing. And this fear that apostle mentions here is a very healthy fear, I can tell you that. Namely, in this, that we are afraid to discontinue our faith. That's a good theory, isn't it? As he mentioned here in the first verse, let us therefore fear. He takes himself upon it too, you know. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise be left us of entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. You know, this has been mentioned in the times past, quite a few years ago, of certain people, that anybody that comes into the kingdom of God, there's no possible way to get away from it or go out of it. There's no possible way. And they took this for an example as Noah built the ark. And after he had it completed, and everything was put in there as God commanded. And Noah went in last of all, namely himself, his wife, and his three sons and their wives. And when they had entered into the ark, the Lord closed the door, and they could not get out of there because they were put in the ark. Same way when you come into the kingdom of God, you cannot go out of it. But we have instructions in the Old Testament. One of the prophets wrote this, that us that are in faith, that was written unto us who are in faith, that it is our duty to remind those that are sinning in this world. It's our duty to do that. And also tells us that it's our duty also to remind the righteous so that they would not go into unrighteousness. And in other places also written, the day the unrighteous forsakes his unrighteousness and comes into righteousness, his unrighteousness shall not be counted unto him anymore. And also that anyone that forsakes his righteousness and thus unrighteousness, his righteousness is not counted unto him anymore. That proves that we can get out of here. And therefore Apostle Paul mentioned when he gave us this instruction that if you continue in faith. So therefore Apostle mentions to us here, let us therefore fear lest the promise be left behind, and let us enter into rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Then he says the gospel was preached unto us. The gospel was preached unto us. And it is still preached unto us. It isn't that we heard it once and twice, but we have to hear it quite often for this simple reason, that we would not forsake the safety that we have in Christ Jesus by faith. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached, and also mentioned as well as unto them. See, the gospel was preached unto us, and also it was preached unto them. But it mentions here that the word did not profit them at all that heard the word, because it was not mixed with faith. See? And we can be thankful of this. And we should be exceeding glad that God had enlightened our spiritual thoughts so much that the faith was mixed in with the gospel that we have heard, as Apostle mentions here. For unto us the gospel was preached as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith, see? not mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, if there's no faith mixed in hearing God's word, it does not profit the hearer one bit. Then he said, for we which have believed do enter into rest. I'm going to tell you, my friends, brothers and sisters, today, that this is ahead of us, that we have a day of rest coming, and that's going to be a beautiful rest. I'm assured of this. And he also mentioned in this chapter that there are many that did not come into this rest was on account of their unbelief. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That all the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And also he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest from the seventh day from all his works. You know, the seventh day may be very close to us. And we can say that it's Saturday evening at 11:30 right now. That's how close the end of the world is. And it doesn't make any difference to us who are in Christ Jesus, whether it cometh tomorrow or next day or later on. So therefore we have to be awake and wide awake, as Jesus mentioned himself, that you should be awake, and also mentioned that you should be wide awake. For this reason, that thou knowest not when the master of the house cometh, that you never know when the master of the house cometh, whether he cometh in the evening, or whether he cometh at midnight, or at cock crowing, or early in the morning. But blessed is he that is wide awake when the call comes to leave this earth. That God rested from all his works in the seventh day and sanctified it, as we have heard it. And we have all read it too, you know. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. If they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. It was preached to them first, but they did not enter in their on account of unbelief. And again he limiteth a certain day, saying to in David, says this in David. Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. This is a warning to all of the people, especially the unbelievers, if they hear it today, not to harden your hearts. For this reason, as Lord has God said himself, that I will not strive with a man forever, for he is flesh. I have heard this mentioned in the times past of some people, where they said that I have enough time, that I'm a young man and so forth. I can get converted later on. But what is written in the Old Testament, there's extreme warnings in the Old Testament. In these words, that if I postpone my, how is it now in English? Oh yeah, repentance till tomorrow. I will build my bed in hell. That's what happens if you postpone your repentance until tomorrow. But today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Then if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Now there's a different translation in Finnish Bible. Finnish Bible said, if Joshua would have given them rest. But in the English Bible, it is, if Jesus had given them rest, he would not afterward spoken of another day. Then he says again here, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That there is a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. After we enter into his rest, we can cease from all works. then he said, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. You know, we are aware of this, and by the experience we know this, that this pilgrimage that we're going through now, it is not roses and flowers, I guarantee you that. Regardless, you've got to go through certain amount of trials and tribulations. Some of you think that they should not have any, that they are, you know, by nature, pretty good man or woman. But why do they have to go through all these? And it's for this simple reason, as it is written by Apostle Peter, that if it is necessary, you are tried with manifold temptations. And he says the reason why you are tried with manifold temptations is that you would find your faith much more precious than silver or gold. Through this, and God gives us these trials and tribulations and temptations, that we would not forget whose boys and girls we are. And I'm going to tell you, it's wonderful to be a boy and girl of our God, the Father himself, you know. And therefore it continues here. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Unbelief, you know. Now this congregation of the Hebrews, as I mentioned here, the first congregation in the New Testament, and they had believed the gospel that was preached unto them, and they had also believed as far as to enjoy it, and some of them had gone back to the old form of worship, namely that we have to do certain things in order to be saved, which was also very evident in Galatia. Well, the apostles also preached the gospel of Christ there. And gospel of Christ means this, that there is no work of us whatsoever to enter into his rest. We have to completely depend on the works of somebody else, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore these Galatians also believed. But Apostle Paul, when he wrote, he said the false prophets came in amongst us are unaware. They come in there unaware. See how foxy the self-righteous person is. They come in as sheep, see? They come in as sheep, but after they are amongst the believers for a little while, a wolf comes out very clearly and plainly. And their duty is this: try to take anything away, everything away from the believers. Now, like in Galatia, they didn't demand much from the Galatians, the believers. They didn't demand very much from them. Only this, that they should be circumcised and to keep the law. That wasn't very much. What did Apostle Paul, when he wrote to them? He said, little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And also Martin Luther, when he wrote in one book, and he explained how important God is about the righteousness that he had performed unto the people through his son Jesus Christ. It's so particular that if someone will come to you and tell you to wipe the dust off the corner of the table, in addition what you have received, he said, don't you do it, you're going to do a wrong thing if you do. So therefore Apostle, he wrote to the Galatians and mentioned about the circumcision that was brought up to the Galatian believers, that they should be circumcised and to keep the law. Apostle Paul said that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. See? That Christ shall profit you nothing. So this is a good instruction for us, that we should not let the adversary add anything to it that we have received, or take anything away also what we have already received. Now, let us labor. I'm going to tell you, this is labor that we go through. And one instance Apostle Paul mentions, to work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't fight, you're not going to live very long. We have to fight against the devil. We have to fight against the world. And we have to fight against our own blood. And these are the three major enemies that we have to fight through. But let's look what Apostle Peter says about this adversary that goes about. And he says what he does. He says, goes round about to see whom he may devour. See? But he also gives us instructions how we can be victorious over him. He said, him ye fight with faith. Fight against him by faith. And therefore also Apostle Paul tells us to take all the instruments of God, all of them, see? Not just a few of them, but take all of the instruments of God. And by these we are able to fight against the darts that the devil shoots at us, you know. So therefore it says, let us labor, therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Then he says what the word of God is like. It says it's very quick. The word of God is quick and powerful, see? Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, years ago, some people said this, that God's word is as sharp as two-edged sword. But here it says it's sharper than two-edged swords. And when God's word is preached, as I mentioned last night, that God's word must be divided correctly. And when God's word is divided correctly, God's word is going to do the duty. It will not return void, as it's also written in the Old Testament. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, see? Piercing, dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts, the discerner of the thoughts, and also intents of the heart. That's what God's word does, see? Then he says, neither there was any creature that is not manifest in his sight. That all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Everything is open unto him. Here some time ago, I happened to be reading the Old Testament. I don't remember. It's funny, I didn't bear that in mind anymore. There's one of the prophet professors was talking to a man, and he also mentioned the name of the man, and I didn't bear that in mind either. And this man that the professor was talking to him. And this man had this idea to do something wrong, absolutely wrong. And he said, "But I'm going to do this in such a way that the Lord don't know anything about it." And this prophet told him, he said, "You're a foolish man. You are a foolish man. You cannot hide anything from the eyes of God." And he said, the reason you can't hide anything from the eyes of God, for God's eyes are 10,000 times brighter than the sun. There you are. And I'm going to tell you, my brothers and friends today, that we are in front of bright eyes, and God's eyes are bright, and they are over us continually and thoroughly, 24 hours a day. And also I'm going to tell you another thing. How in what kind of hands we are in, and what kind of hands are protecting us. Not the way we see on TV once in a while. Some advertisement says that Allstate, when you're Allstate hands, you are in good hands. I looked at it once, but boy, I'm in much better hands than Allstate hands. I'm in the hands of Jesus Christ. Allstate shall vanish away, but these hands that are taking care of me shall never falter, never vanish away. So I'm going to tell you, let us stay in these good hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. These hands are able to take us through this rough pilgrimage that we are going through right now. Then he says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a high priest, says here, we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, and that's where our high priest is right now, who has passed away into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, What is our profession? Confess his name. Isn't that a fact? And I'm going to tell you that is a beautiful confession, isn't it? Confess the name of our Lord Jesus Christ under all circumstances and under all conditions, regardless what may happen. But this is important, that we hold fast our profession. See? Then he says, well, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. We haven't got a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, that we can touch him with feeling of our infirmities. But was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That he was tempted with everything that as we are, but without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in grace to help in time of need. Come unto him when we are in need. And Jesus mentioned himself. And he said that all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give thee rest. There is a resting place for our weary souls. Come unto Jesus and he will give rest unto all of that are heavy laden and weary. So this is the last of the circus that I made again now. I'm a little bit kind of glad to get home again, if the Lord is willing. Been gone almost 4 weeks and all alone. You know, it'd be much better if it had a partner that would open up his mouth once in a while. But listen to your own mouth for 3-4 weeks. It gets a little bit tiresome to your own ears. But I can say this, and I don't have to advertise it either in the newspapers, that we have a good God. I know this to be a fact. Without advertising that I have a good God. I remember one instance happened in Deer River, 1932, I guess it was. There was a lot of people at services. There was I think it was Labor Day time, yes. We had services over there at Ivor Norma's. And they were actually absolutely good services. I can remember that as long as I live. And I got mixed up in there too, you know. And I don't know how many hours I was mixed up myself. Finally, I sobered up. And it was awful hot, and I went and stood at the doorway at this fourth story. And there was a little old man sitting on a big bench, low bench like this, bald-headed. And I said, I have a good God. He looked at me and said, I'm going to tell you, young man. He is good if you know how to keep him good. That's the answer he gave me. And this is a true fact. As he mentioned to me, that he is good if you know how to keep him good. And there's only one way to know how God is good. Read his word and we find what his heart is toward a sinner, that he's got a forgiving heart. And he also is forgetful. God is forgetful of our sins. And I'm going to say goodbye and God's peace today, that it is sin for us to remember our sins, for God has completely forgotten them. And he has separated from us as far as the east is from the west. And he has sank them in the depths of the sea. That's where they are. Let the devil take his hook and his long line, but he cannot reach and bring them back. But if he does think he can, but he's badly mistaken. Devil has been mistaken many, many times. So therefore, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to leave you, brothers and sisters, in good hands of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure of this, that we do need a lot of strength, and we do need a lot of comfort in these trying times, because you don't know what's going to happen in this life. Even if this life is snuffed away just that fast by a maniac or something, it doesn't hurt our soul at all. It just releases us from this bondage to freedom, see? So therefore, let us continue in this freedom wherewith Christ has made us free, and that is free from sin and free from everlasting death. So let us stand fast in this liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And we have intentions of having Lord's Supper today, of which he introduced himself or ordained it. Let's put it that way. And told unto the disciples to do this in his remembrance, and to take it and divide it among yourselves. And he also mentioned that there is life in his flesh, and also mentioned that there is remission in his blood. So therefore, come and eat Jesus, and also drink his blood for the remission of sins. As Martin Luther mentions, that he that believes what is offered in this Lord's Supper gets exactly what's promised in it, namely the forgiveness of sins. Where there's forgiveness of sins, there is joy and happiness. I can guarantee you that. So let us be joyful, and let us say again that this is the day the Lord has made, and he has made it for our benefit. And that was a great day when the Lord made, when Jesus was nailed on the cross of Calvary almost 2,000 years ago, so that we find our sins washed away in the blood of Jesus, and they are washed continually as we find in the scriptures, written in the scriptures. So therefore, I'm going to ask you one favor, that if you get to talk to the Father in heaven, speak in behalf of me also. That's the request I make, if you get to talk to the Father. And I'm sure that you talk to him spiritually quite often. And if you get to talk to him, speak in behalf of Arby also. This life that I'm going through, it's much more rugged now than it was years ago. I thought when I was a young man, and I didn't have this thing that I have now, supposed to be a preacher, which I am not. I'm just an ordinary believer. And as long as I'm an ordinary believer, I can get along with the rest of them. Not like that man from California, West Coast came. I instructed him to come to Minnesota and Wisconsin as just an ordinary believer. And he didn't remember my instructions. He came as a bishop from the West Coast. Some of you remember him. And nobody got spiritually attached to him because he was a little bit bigger than the rest of us. And God's kingdom, everyone is the same size. There's no difference between the believers. They're all the same for this simple reason, that they all have received the same amount of grace. And how much grace they have received? Enough grace to cover up all the sins. Therefore, I'm going to say again, let us continue believing just a little while longer, regardless what may happen and regardless what we see. But this is important, that I believe my own sins forgiven, first of all and last of all. Amen.